The following is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net for January 20th.
Calling the Tri-City Tipsnet for January 2021. Good evening, welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tipsnet. This is Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango. My name is Dave. I'm located in the town of Preston. I will be your net control this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All properly licensed amateurs are welcome to check into the net. And those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. The net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. It's also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and encourage the use of good operating skills. Let me reset. The TIPSNET is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins. When we have everyone checked in, we'll go down to the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have a question or comment for the net. We will ask for your questions after we have everyone checked in. There are three sections to the TIPSNET. First, the open net with rounds of questions and comments. Second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And third, there's an opportunity for those looking to swap, sell, or seeking amateur-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to the net control. When checking in, please say, "This is," and release the mic exactly like this. And listen to ensure no one else has called the same time that you have. Then slowly give your call sign phonetically, please, along with your name and location, and mention if you have a comment or a question for the net this evening. I'll begin to take check-ins now. This is Dave, Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango, your net control for this evening. Please come now with your call sign slowly.
Chris, Kilo 0, Juliet, Echo, Bravo, Josh and Groton. No questions at this time.
Good evening. Here is Kilo Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf, Kevin in Norwich. No questions or topics at the moment, but that first station was Rare DX, to be sure.
The net recognizes K0JEB. Good to hear you, Josh. Been a little while. And, of course, KS6PDG, the infamous Kevin. Are there any other check-ins for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TIPSNET? Please come now.
This is Kilo Charlie 1, Kilo Lima Zulu. John in East Lyme, just saying hello.
Here is. Kilo Charlie 1, Mike Victor X-ray, Kevin and Groton, good evening.
That also recognizes KC1KLZ. John, good to hear you. KC1MVX. Kevin. And NK1Victor, Steve from Coventry. All right, looks like nobody has any questions, so you're going to make it tough on me tonight. Did I copy that correctly? Anyone want to make a correction?
JV with the correction, and I have one question for the group.
Okay, 6PDG, I've decided I have two questions for the group.
Oh, sure, now they all come. All right, very good. Well, we'll start at the top of the heap with Josh and see what kind of question he has, and then we'll pick up Kevin Six's questions, and hopefully we can keep it under an hour. Josh, go ahead, K0JV, K1DCT, and the TIPSnet.
K1DCT is K0JV. Thanks, Dave, and good evening, everybody. Well, for those of you that are slightly technical when it comes to electronics, over my short period of being a ham radio operator, I've run across radios that needed capacitor replacements, and so I wanted to ask the group if anyone knew what the average life expectancy of a common electrolytic capacitor in today's electronics is. The older style capacitors that were sealed with wax, I don't care so much about, but I'm just curious if there's a born on date or average expected expiration date for electrolytic capacitors. And that's about all I have, so I'll hand it back to you, Dave, K1DCT, it's K0JB.
All right, well, that's an interesting question. I'm going to venture a guess and say I don't believe that's ever come up before. But, yes, the old capacitors, they were wax and paper outside. They tended to dry out. The new stuff, I'd say you're probably looking at 20, 30 years. I mean, I think they'll go a long time. So, but that's just an opinion. And so we all have one. So we can get down to Kevin and see what his opinion might be. And you might as well toss in your two questions. And we'll stir it all up and see what we can make. K6PDG in the group, in the TIPSnet, this is K1DCT, net control.
All right, good evening, Dave. Good evening to Josh. Awesome to hear you. Josh, now you've been busy with the young amateur there in the household. I don't have any kind of answer, really, for Josh's question. I think it's an excellent question that I've never heard discussed on the air before that I remember. The only thing I could offer is just to mention what I have always gone by as a rule of thumb, and that is that net control is always right. Now, to my questions, which are simple and fun. Kind of like me, I guess. So, number one, these are just little brain teases or discussion points. Number one, is there something that you have recently learned related to ham radio? maybe something you've discovered, something you didn't know or know about, whether you've been a ham a long time or maybe been a ham a few months, and you just recently, say in the last few weeks or the last month or two, discovered or learned something. So my example, for example, would be that in recent months I've discovered the 146.865 repeater. I knew there was one around, and I knew it, I can't remember now whether it has a 156 PL or differently, but I just discovered it's the Coast Guard Academy repeater. It's located at the Coast Guard Academy. Anyway, 146.865, I discovered a repeater. Now, that's number one. What have you discovered recently or unearthed or learned that was maybe unexpected? Number two is even simpler than that. What currently in your ham shack or your ham collection of devices and tools and equipment and radios, and what can you not currently find? We, except for Dave, who's incredibly organized, I've heard him describe his system there in his shack. Most of us are not as organized as Dave. And usually there's something we're looking for and we can't find. So what is it that you're looking for currently related to ham radio in your own world? I don't mean something you're looking to buy, sell, trade, swap, give away, or want. Something you can't find in your shack that you're looking for, and you have no idea where it ended up. And my example would be my folding J-Pole antenna, my N9TAX antenna made out of a window line. I can't find it. I don't know where it is. I think it's in a different dimension. So that would be my two questions, if we want to play with them. And I'm really curious what Dave had up his sleeve. KA6PDG, back to Nat.
All right, Kevin. Well, interesting questions. And trust me, I had something up my sleeve in case we were, had to scrape the bottom of the barrel. But very good. Yes, I am a bit organized over here, but occasionally I do stumble across something that I had forgotten about. So I guess I didn't even know I didn't know where it was because I had forgotten I had it. But it happens. Maybe once a year I'll open up a drawer or a cabinet and go, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Oh well. And recently learned, I play a lot on the digital modes, so I like to think I'm picking up a few tidbits. I mean, nothing I could make a meal out of, I'll say. Let's see what John has to say. In fact, KC1KLZ, John, I'd be interested to talk to you more about your IGA radio. On another time, I wouldn't mind, if you don't mind, I wouldn't mind taking a look at that and seeing if it's something simple, because I know you said it didn't receive what you thought it should. So, but beyond that, any input on the questions about cap lifespan, recently learned in Hamland, or things you can't find? KC1KLZ and the group. This is K1DCT in the TipsNet.
This is KC1KLZ, John in East Lyme. I don't know diddly about capacitors. That's plain enough. As far as that old radio I talked about a couple weeks back, it's just an old radio. It just receives. I remember catching a transmission on it when got some 50 years ago from a boat out in Long Island Sound that was in distress. Remember an Italian captain calling the Coast Guard. I found that amusing. Well, I wouldn't say amusing, but interesting. I figured a better antenna would help, but it's limited. A lot of the frequencies used, I hope I'm saying this right, are no longer used. It's obsolete. You can improve it a little bit, but It's lipstick on a pig. It's still a pig in that sense. But it looks good sitting on the dresser. KC1KLZ, back to you, Net.
All right, John. I just thought I'd throw it out there. I have a number of, well, I guess they're antique radios, receive only. So I like to play with that stuff, and I wasn't going to make any promises. And you are correct. A lot of those frequencies, there's nothing there anymore. I think you said it did shortwave. There's still stuff out there, but you got to be right place, right time. So let's move on to KC1MVX. If you have any answers to the previously listed questions, or maybe something has popped into your head that you'd like answered. Go ahead. This is K1DCT in the TIPSnet.
KC1MVX. Well, first, it's nice to hear from Josh and John. Josh, it's been a while. Glad to hear you're back. I actually was mentioning you earlier today to Bob, saying that you're the last one to inspect my shack, and I'm looking for somebody else to just come look at the improvements I made. John, I've never heard from you before, so nice to meet you. Very nice to hear you. As far as answers to the questions, for Josh's question, the one thing that, so it depends on if you have like the aluminum core or the electrolyte core, like basically the wet or dry, because technically the aluminum cores are electrolytic, although I consider the electrolyte cores to be the electrolytic ones. So with the liquid core ones, if you overvolt them, they'll heat up and they will overvolt them on a load, so draw too much current basically. They'll expand and they can pop. Or they can, basically, if they expand, the liquid can start to evaporate out or leak out, and then they die. Over time, you know, nothing's an impermeable membrane. The liquid will leak out of those, and that's why they have a limited lifespan. For the aluminum ones, same thing. You overcurrent them, they can crack. So the biggest thing is the aluminum ones aren't as forgiving to overvolting under load as the ceramic capacitors, and eventually the liquid will leak out of the electrolyte capacitors. Or if you really go ham on it, they can explode, and it's electrolyte compound, so that can cause massive shorts and destroy everything. So that's bad. Let me reset. Granted, you have to have quite a large capacitor for there to be enough liquid for it to matter. For Kevin 6, didn't know about. Well, the obvious thing is the Mars project and how that all works. I learned a lot about it, but I'm not going to get into that tonight. So I will say, we'll just stick with that for now. But as so far as what's in the shack that's missing, actually something is missing, and it's frustrating because I just saw it and then can't find it, but it's my Type N to PL259 adapter. I have a 25-foot run of LMR400 that would be amazing to use, but it has a Type N connector, and I bought an adapter, and I can't find it, so I can't use it, and I'm very frustrated. KC1VX, back to that.
All right, very good, Kevin. Yeah, that is frustrating when you can't find something. I'm sure you'll come across it. If not, they're certainly still available. I'm sure I have at least one here somewhere if it turns into total desperation. I could, as Kevin Six would know, I could probably easily find it because it's exactly where it's supposed to be. But, I agree with the capacitors. I've had one explode on me before and spray that goo all over me. or it was actually a out of a motor control circuit, so it was a bi-directional motor, and they used a capacitor to phase shift, so you would make it go in one direction or the other. So it happens. So, you know, 15, 20 years, they're probably done. And like you mentioned, if they're over-voltaged, it can get ugly. So with that, let's go to Steve, NK1V, see what he thinks about all this stuff. And hopefully, Steve, you got my reply to your question on Winlink. K1DCT and the TIPSnet to NK1V.
NK1V, yes, Dave, I did get your reply, and that's actually one of the, not to skip Josh, I'll get back to that, that's one of the things that I have learned this year, or recently, you know, since I've only been a ham for a few years, and was how to do Winlink, because I just kind of struggled with it for a little bit, all that stuff. Another thing I learned, which is kind of, I was told, and then I kind of found it out, figured out for myself, especially with on single sideband, is that you don't necessarily need a ton of power to be heard. You just, I was told that you really just need to get above the noise level, and I did learn that that's true. It's at that critical point. And then the third thing learning is that I'm struggling with is CW, but I'm not giving up because I, you know, this time is an issue. Usually, like in the evening, I start playing around with it, and the tone just, you know, that just kind of puts me like a lullaby. So I struggle finding the time to take care of that. excuse me, let me reset. I also learned if you eat peanuts and you don't have something to drink with you, you're going to be choking. The capacitor question, Josh, Josh, good to hear from you. I haven't heard from you in a while. That's a good question. I know very little about, it's kind of something that's been tossing around in my head because I have dabbled. Actually, I have a couple older radios, and I don't know at one point I'm really supposed to get involved in that as preventive maintenance as opposed to waiting until, you know, a little puff of smoke comes out the back or something comes oozing out the bottom. So that's a good question. I don't have the answer to. I've dealt with larger capacitors for, you know, drive motors and all kinds of large things at work that it's usually pretty obvious when they fail. But good question. And good. That's what I got. Back to that and K1B.
All right, very good, Steve. Thanks for your input, and glad you got my reply. And before we go back to Josh to see if he's gotten any satisfaction, let's see if there are any further check-ins for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TIPSnet. Please come now with your call sign slowly and phonetically. This is K1DCT, your net control.
Here is WA2, Romeo, Yankee Victor. Evening, Chief. Here is Whiskey 1, Foxtrot, Juliet, Whiskey, Chuck and Groton. Good evening. No question.
All right. Well, we'll go right to you, both of you. I don't know how long you've been listening, but I don't know if you have any input on life expectancy of electrolytics, recent learned things in hamland, as I'll call it, or things you can't find in your shack that you know are there. So WA2RYV. Go ahead, Tom. This is K1DCT in the TIPSnet.
Evening, Dave. This is WA2RYV. My experience has been that My electrolytics have held up reasonably well if I keep using the radio. It's the radios that sit around for 10 or 20 years that they're usually somewhat recalcitrant or smoky. As far as finding things that I know where they are that I can't find or can't lay my hand on, I got lots of those. I find some of those every day. Just happen to be loose tonight and figured I'd come down and see what the tips that's got going. It's WA2RYV.
All right, Tom. Well, good to hear you. Glad you stopped by. And, you're right about stuff that sits around. That's usually when those, especially the old paper ones, sitting in a dark basement somewhere. That's when they usually decide to unravel. 10 or 15 years kicking around in grandma's basement. So, all right. Let's. I'm sure Chuck has some. Highly technical data to pass on to us about at least one of these items. W1FJW, this is K1DCT in the tip set.
Well, about how long does an electrolytic last? The low voltage ones last a lot longer than the high voltage ones. Any item can fail at any time, of course, but for the most part, electrolytic will go 35 years from what I can tell from the date codes on what I've seen around here. By 50 years, they're pretty much dead. And part of the problem with electrolytics is they get sneaky. As the electrolytics age, particularly if the electrolytic is rated for a higher voltage than it's used at, that is, if you have a 150-volt electrolytic and 12-volt service, the capacitance of the capacitor will actually go up as the insulating layer inside the capacitor wears thin. It's the same as moving the plates of a variable capacitor closer together. And I've seen electrolytics, and I'm not joking on this, I actually read it, have a capacitance 10 times their rated value when they were used very conservatively. When they do fail, usually it results in the electrolyte boiling, puts an extreme pressure on the case, the seal on the end of the can ruptures, and you get a shorted capacitor if it's a small one in a 12-volt radio, and if it's a big 450-volt unit in a multi-kilowatt power supply, it blows all the aluminum foil out of the case, and you get what looks like aluminum spaghetti blown all into the energized circuitry, which causes other problems. I've seen it happen. Recent discoveries, you can tap the internal wiring of a clamp-on ammeter so that you can run the signal to an oscilloscope and see the current waveform. And what can I not find? I cannot find my RF probe for the scope. Back to net, W1FJW.
All right, Chuck. Well, I certainly appreciate the in-depth knowledge that you have about the capacitors. And, RF probes. Yeah, I've got one here, too. It's probably on top of my oscilloscope, but there's probably something else on top of that. So, Very good. Let's circle around to the top and see if Josh has found any satisfaction in the explanations so far. K0JEB, K1DCT in the TIPSnet.
K1DCT, K0JB. Yes, I've had some satisfaction of the responses. One thing I did want to add that I think is crucial when it comes to the life expectancy of a capacitor, Chuck kind of touched on it, operating temperature. And I have quite a bit of material on it because I've searched it in the past, and there's actually a calculation that you can do. I can't pronounce the name of this equation. It's called the Arrhenius equation, A-R-R-H-E-N-I-U-S, and it deals with temperature dependency of reaction rates. And basically, if you have a capacitor that's rated at, say, 105 degrees centigrade for 10,000 hours, if you reduce the temperature by 10 degrees Celsius, you can essentially double the life expectancy of a capacitor. So if it was 10,000, it would be 20,000 hours at a lower temperature. All interesting stuff. As far as things that I have learned ham radio wise, I guess I would say that I've learned that ham radio operators sometimes can make simple things complicated. And as far as things you can't find, I have a reverse response for that one. Instead of it being something I can't find, how about having something I can find but can't remember where it goes? When taking a bunch of projects apart, I mysteriously end up getting these little trays and jars full of screws. And sometimes it's because I can't find the screw when I put something back together, or in this case, I forget to put it back, and then you have an extra, and you still can't figure out where it's supposed to go. But then again, I found it, but I just can't find the device that it goes in. And so, as confusing as that can be, I'm going to pass it back to Net Control. This is K0JB. Good evening, all.
All right, very good, Josh. Well, it, you know, it goes a long way to when you are putting something together, whether it's capacitors or any electronic device, to, you know, operate it well within its temperature range, its voltage range, you know, without being too far under or too close to the top. You know, you need a little safety factor. Fail safe, we'll call it. And, yeah, the miscellaneous screws and stuff, that's just a product of taking things apart. I've got several little compartments full of screws that look like they should have gone into something, but they don't. So I put them away, and if I ever find a spot where they go, they'll fit. If not, I guess it doesn't matter. Let's get on to KA6PDG and find out if he's, like the Rolling Stones, gotten any satisfaction. No, I should say not like the Rolling Stones, if he's gotten any satisfaction. KA6PDG in the TIPSnet, this is K1DCT, your net control.
Funny, I was just thinking of that song as just before the words came out of your mouth. So, great minds work alike, or simple minds work alike, or something like that. Yeah, that was very very satisfying. I feel much better, thank you. In fact, I'm even going to continue listening to the net. A couple of cool little items there. And I like Josh's approach, finding something and You can't remember what it goes to or what it's for or what to. Every time I go back in the recesses of my one of my closets or my studio in the other room, I have a few shelves and boxes just full of stuff. You know, just using the technical term stuff. And I think the one thing, I keep coming upon these old, I think they were parallel port connectors. Anyway, they were for the old printers when computers were new. And you hooked up a printer. It was this connector that looked like a stamp for a rubber stamp, an ink blotter where you'd stand. Anyway, you kind of get the idea, and it doesn't matter even if you don't. I keep finding those things, and, well, maybe I should hold on to them in case they're needed someday. Boy, haven't we all done that? Oh, I think I'll hold on to it, just in case. And one of the things that falls into that category is if someone is helping me. I'm not a real technical person, and some of that's my lack of eyesight. So sometimes, more often than not, if it's a technical project that involves fixing something or building something or soldering something, I'm going to have somebody help me or do that for me. And invariably, after they leave, and usually it's weeks or months later, so I have no clue, I'll find a little container on the living room table or wherever it happens to be, or in the ham shack, a little thing. It's got screws in it, or it's got little parts, or it's got little capacitors, or it's got little feet from the bottom of something. And I'm like, what the hell does that go to? So finding things is interesting. KA6PDG, back to that.
All right, very good, Kevin. Yeah, finding little treasures, and, you know, because of you, there's plenty of us out here that'll gladly help you when you need something soldered or something broken. But as I look around the shack here, when you mentioned those printer connectors and stuff, I look around the shack here, and, yeah, I still have some DB25 to DB9 cables that I made because they went to something or I needed it for something. And if I look in the desk drawer here, I have all sorts of, we'll call them gender benders, you know, to change from one thing to another, you know, male to female, or a null modem, or DB25 to a DB9. And yeah, I got a lot of stuff, and I haven't thrown it out because you just don't know. But let's get out and see if John has any follow-up to anything we've talked about. KC1KLZ, this is K1DCT in the Tippsnet.
Yeah, this is KC1KLZ. I'm just listening, and eventually I'll learn something. If I can absorb it, that's the question. Back to you, Ned. Thank you.
All right, John, fine business. Hey, we're all, you know, we're all learning. At least when you stop learning, then you stop living. So there's always something else to learn, whether it's ham radio or something else. Glad to hear you in there, and, you know, as always, feel free to jump in. KC1MVX. Over to you for any follow-up comments, questions. This is K1DCT in the Tippsnet.
I know now that I know not. Somebody said that, right? KC1MVX. I'll pop through the topics real quick. One, I'll go ahead and tell a little quick shenanigan, because I just got confirmation I don't have to be completely radio silent on this as much as I thought. and Josh might find this interesting. So I did join the Mars project, and their net happens to run at the same time as this net, so I was kind of peeking into both. Generally, it's a traffic net, and I check in, and that's it. I just check in. I listen to the traffic. But my wing commander decided that I had been in training long enough and it was time for me to step up. And he basically forced me to pass some traffic. And I was half listening to that net and completely into this net. As that happened, it immediately shut off the VHF radio and then started onto the other net, realizing what I was being called upon to do, and man, I must have sounded like somebody in one of Tom's classes being told to pass traffic for the first time before I even got my license. Boy, did I get nervous, and it's funny because I passed traffic in the net control, national traffic system, and done everything, but it was a whole new ball game with that, and I did it, but I definitely sounded green. Let me reset. I do have a little bit of a better answer from last round that I forgot about, and I remembered. Amplifiers. I used to think amplifiers were simply just to make your signal stronger, but I did find out recently that they're for more than that. A lot of times, they're just to allow you to run your radio at a lower power, and then have something that is built to output high power, to put out a high power signal, so you don't burn your radio out. Nuts and bolts, screws. So one thing that I learned from watching a tech channel on YouTube years ago was I got one of those little magnetic dry erase boards. They're very thin, and they would magnetically go on your refrigerator. But I taped it to my workbench, and then when I'm taking apart something important, I draw with a dry erase marker a general outline of the component, and then whenever I take a screw off, I make like little grid squares, and I put that screw in that square, and it magnetically stays on the board, and then tells me what quadrant or whatever it goes in on the actual component when I do reassembly. KC1VX, back to net.
Okay, and I thought I was organized. I just take them apart. I usually have one of those little magnetic bowls or trays that you can get at various hardware places. I just throw it all in there. I figure it out later. More organized than I am. I like it. But sounds good. And wish you well on the on your Mars adventure. Sounds interesting. Let's get out and see if Steve has any follow-up for anything that's been talked about so far, or maybe some burning question has come into his mind. NK1V, K1DCT in the tip net.
NK1V. Yeah, a little comment on the organizing and nuts and bolts and stuff. There's still a whole bunch there at my mom's house there. I remember my father used to have all across the ceiling the old Gerber baby food jars, the glass jars. He screwed the covers up on long strips of wood and then put the little jars in there. There's just all kinds of little goodies in those things. And I almost started doing that here, but I don't think it would look really good in the shack. And we do have between all the prescriptions and everything, those little plastic opaque bottles. I keep a lot of things in those, just so they don't spill out all over the place. And I generally can't find them when I need them. I have good, several locations, so I struggle with that. Kevin Exit said something that I got some humor out of. He was talking about the amplifiers, and yeah, it's true. I'm not a big fan of pushing a lot out, but I do
used. I have my AEL-811H, which has some pretty good output. And generally, I do it because my 756 Pro 3 has never had the capacitor changed or checked or anything. It's never been opened, so I like to run that at less, I don't like to push that too hard. Just go nice and easy on it. And also the amplifier makes a nice, this time of the year, just makes a nice little desk heater. So usually like on my 80 meter nets and stuff like that, that's when I usually use that radio and amp. I'll turn it all on and just help only go like 150, 200 watts total output, you know, peak envelope, and just run with that and use it for heat and use it for less stress on the radio, which may need or not need capacitors. Back to that, NK1B.
All right, very good, Steve, and very true. I don't have an amplifier, but I do talk to a lot of guys that have them. You know, if I'm up on 75 phone at night, and they are, you know, say they got an 11, what is it, an 8, 8-11, oh, I forgot what it was, but you know the one. I think it puts out 600 or 800 watts maximum. And they'll, you know, dial it back, so they're running maybe 200, 300 watts. So, as they call it, it's loafing along. And, yeah, you can, I mean, one, your rig will last a long time, and the amplifier will last a long time because you're not driving that to maximum output, too. So, maybe someday, if I find the right deal, I'll pick one up. But of course, I run so much digital and CW that I don't really need one most of the time. But you know, you can never have too much. Well, let's get on to Tom, WA2RYV. Any further input for the net? K1DCT in the tips net.
I've got an HW. What is an HW? It's a SB 200, 572 amp sitting here that I acquired a couple of years ago, and have been given serious thought to just preemptively changing out the power supply. This is a 1965 amplifier. change out the caps, the power supply, and not even see if they'll blow up. Just get them out of there. But that's a project for another day too. The nice thing about it is, for a few dollars more, you can get new circuit boards with new capacitors and new diodes on them. That's a pretty simple change out. That's a matter of putting a couple new tubes in it, and maybe we'll try it. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm just trying to clear off a pile of stuff on my desk here. We were gone for a couple of months there between Thanksgiving and New Year's, and a lot of crap accumulated, and we're doing the crap shuffle, so to speak, trying to sort it out and throw it out. As far as nuts, bolts, and screws, I've gotten to the point where I don't even try to sort them out anymore. I've got a coffee jar, a coffee can full of machine screws, a coffee can full of sheet metal screws, and a coffee can full of wood screws. And I start looking for a screw, that narrows it down to which style I'm looking for, and I can usually find one. 3-pound coffee can will hold about ten pounds of screws. That's about all we have WA2RYV.
All right, Tom. Well, good luck on the amplifier project if that comes to the service. And as far as all the coffee cans, I got to the point I threw all that stuff out. But the time I spent looking for it, I could have driven to the hardware store, bought exactly what I needed, and driven back. And the time would find me. it would take to find what I was looking for. But that was just my choice. I won't say I don't have a small drawer full of screws, but I don't spend a lot of time looking anymore. So let's get down to Chuck, W1FJW. Any further input for the net? This is K1DCT in the tip net.
K0JEB, Josh was correct about lowering the temperature on it. As a matter of fact, I think it was the assistant director of the Navy Supply Command, a Willis J. Willoughby, come up with the whole criteria of how to keep, how to procure electronics and get it to last a long time. It was basically a case of backing down and not using things at their maximum rating. I believe the document got folded into Mill Detail 917, but I'd have to research it to find it. But essentially it goes down and tells you how much to derate capacitors for voltage and ripple current, and how much to derate capacitor transistors, diodes, resistors, etc. And it works. Back to net, W1FJW.
All right, Chuck, you know what? Whether it's a machine or electronic device or a human being, it's not good to run them at full output all the time. With that, I will make a last call out here for the first section. If there's anyone else who would like to check in, has any input, please call now. This is K1 Delta Charlie Tango in the tips net.
Here is November 1, Sierra Papa X-Ray. Chuck in Hannibal, Missouri. Good evening. No questions.
Oh, good evening, Chuck. I don't know how long you've been listening. I didn't hear you pop in on the internet, the Echo Link. Do you have any comments on anything been talked about that you've heard?
I've only been connected about 45 minutes and then couldn't get a word in edgewise during your last call up. The Echo Link timer, we hit the Echo Link timer twice in there between people going on and then the next person catching up before the repeater tail dropped. Let's see, I want to say to Kevin X that, yes, juggling two nets at once can be fraught with peril, but good to hear you're picking up some of the technical stuff. Your explanation on the capacitors and all that was quite astute. So good to see you're making some progress on things. And as far as that goes, I stick with the theory that if it's 30 or 40 years old, you're living on borrowed time in a number of ways. So if you care about it, you better clean it up or replace what you can and all of that. Other than that, not a lot going on. N1 SPX, back to that.
All right, Chuck, good to hear you, and sorry we weren't able to pick you up earlier. Like I said, just didn't hear you, and we got a pretty good check-in tonight. I must have put on enough deodorant. So with that, we're going to move into the second section, announcements and items of interest. Is there anyone out there that has something that fits into that category? Please call now. This This is K1DCT in the TIPSnet.
K6PDG.
All right, Kevin, go ahead with your announcement. K6PDG, K1DCT.
All right, two items of interest, both concern Race On. The first is the Race On Club, Radio Amateur Society of Norwich. First is that the club has its on-air meeting, its monthly meeting on the air, thanks to COVID. That's tomorrow night, and I think it's 7:30 p.m., if I recall. So all amateurs are welcome to check in. Obviously, it'll be a net format, but it'll be the monthly meeting of Race On tomorrow night on the N1NW repeaters over in Norwich. Item number two also concerns Race On and their winter field day effort that they're going to be doing up at Zegre Farm Museum in Colchester. Let me reset. As far as I know, they're still looking for, last I heard, as of late yesterday, it would be nice if they could find somebody who would like to come out and do some satellite contacts for the club. If you know if somebody is interested in doing that, I think the contact person would be Chuck Newman, November Alpha 1, Charlie November. Time is getting short. Of course, Winter Field Day is the 30th and 31st, and the club is going to do something of a dress rehearsal, or at least pace everything out at the site up there at the farm this weekend. So if somebody would like to help the club out with satellite contacts, maybe that could be lined up before this weekend, and that person could come out. And, of course, they want to make sure everything's socially distanced and all that. So again, Chuck Newman would be the contact, N-A-1-C-N. K6PDG, I think that's it.
All right, very good, Kevin. I'll give one more chance. Anyone have any announcements about upcoming events, item of interest, or a question for Kevin? K1DCT in the TIPSnet. All right, we'll move into the third half, as I like to say, for the cell swap or seeking amateur-related items. Anyone has something fits into that category, please come now with your call sign. All right, hearing none, we'll make this the last call for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club weekly TIPSnet. Are there any additional check-ins, last-minute input? Please come now. This is K1DCT, your net control.
This is KS1I, Joe and Ledgert, in and out, no comment.
All right, good evening, Joe. Good to hear you. No input or anything. I don't know how long you've been listening. I'll give you an opportunity. Go ahead.
Thanks. I've been listening kind of on the sideline. I'm getting my taxes ready to file, so I'm on using TurboTax for the 8th year. He sent me a little reminder saying, hey, this is your 8th year doing it, so let's start today. So that's what I'm doing. I'm getting some preliminary stuff, downloading my my W-2s, my wife's W-2, and just starting right now as of a half an hour ago.
Ah, yes, the fun season. Yeah, I haven't even looked at any of that stuff yet. I'll wait till the end of the month. But very good. Good to hear you in here. and certainly welcome anytime. So with that, that was last call. And so it's time to turn the lights on, wipe the bar down, put the stools up on the bar, and close things up. So I want to thank all those that participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. Thanks to all those that stood by as we conducted the net. Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month. Presently, the meetings are on Zoom, and they're open to all interested persons. Information about the club may be found at www.tricityarc, that's TRICITYARC.org. I want to thank John W1AN for the use of the repeater and the W1DX Echo Link. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. And now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango. Good evening in 7-3.